Exciting times around the Fandom Podcast Network, Kevin. Of course, the big news is that What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast, debuted last week, and it's going like gangbusters, I must say.
Yeah, I want to say it was actually a lot more exciting than Triple Force Friday, the day that it dropped.
Oh, should we talk about that?
Yeah, dude. Can we call it Triple Force Suck?
I was just going to say, can we call it Triple Force Zero?
Gosh, I'm sure some people got some stuff, and I'm sure a lot of people went out there and bought more than they needed and put it on eBay and stuff. It's just like, it's crazy.
Well, I'm going to say this. You know? I went to two Targets, and I felt more like it was Frozen Force Friday.
That's exactly what it was. So to piggyback on that, I had to take my car in for service, but the only dealership for my car is like 45 minutes away or 30 minutes away or whatever. So I took the opportunity to hit up a Walmart and two Targets, and the two Targets had huge Frozen Force Friday like displays right in the front there. And then you go back to the Star Wars section, and it was lame. I don't know if it was picked through, but the display itself was like non-existent. Yeah. It was really sad, dude.
I saw in one Target, I found it kind of in the middle of the clothing section, and it was a really cheap cardboard cutout, and there was nothing on it. And then the other Target I went to didn't even have that, and their toy section was empty. The next day, I went to a Walmart that had a better selection than that, but it was still really picked over and very empty. I did find the Seven Sister and the Jawa in the white box. I didn't pick them up because, though, I guess they're calling the ones in the white box the Carbonite Freeze versions of the Black Series.
I don't understand.
Yeah,
what
I
that
don't
means.
Either. I don't know what the difference is. The only real thing I wanted out of Black Friday was the Mandalorian in black.
That's what everybody wants. Everybody wants the Mandalorian, and of course, I'm sure it got picked through. And you know, and I know Derek had mentioned, well, you know, you could have pre-ordered it, you know, on Amazon, and you know, when you go on Amazon now, it's like close to $50. But it's like I don't like ordering figures and stuff like that through the mail because I always get one that's dented or something like that, one that I don't want open. Yeah. You know, I want to look at it myself. I want to hold it in my hands and do that. And you know, the only stuff that was there was like stuff that was carryover from like Solo and Last Jedi and stuff like that. It's just, and I saw no 3 3/4 stuff. Of course, there's hardly any of that anyway. It was just, I think I saw one, was it this, what do you call them? The sisters,
the Seven Sister.
Yeah, I saw one of those. It was just sad, man. The Walmart I went to just didn't really seem to care.
Yeah. It just seemed like unless it was in a bigger city or something like that, they really didn't put a lot of focus on it. But there's one thing I want to call out too, is the price of some of this stuff. The vintage X-Wing is going for $200 retail.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, come on now.
You guys keep that.
Come on now.
And the regular X-Wing was like pushing $100, right?
I know. And what are you talking about? It's an X-Wing fighter. That should be about $25 tops. Yeah. And, but I think that's one of the things that's kind of sad about toys today, because I see it in a lot of things, but especially in Star Wars. They're priced out where parents can't afford to buy their kids these toys.
Yeah. You know, it's, and I wasn't planning on like dropping a whole bunch of money, but curiosity brought me to these things just to kind of see. And whenever I go into Target, you know, or Walmart, I always drop by the toy section. I always check out the Star Wars section. You know, it's just, it's something I've been doing ever since, you know, like at least on a continuous basis since, was it 97 when they brought out the Power of the Force figures and all that kind of stuff. And they started making a big deal about it with Episode 1. God, I still remember that day on Episode 1.
Oh yeah.
So
oh gosh.
Stuff.
Yes.
Well,
did you
fun,
remember,
I
remember,
time,
do you remember
man,
the big
you.
Thing with the Episode 1 figures with the ones with the lightsabers? You had the short saber and the long saber.
Yeah. Yeah. And the ones that talked with the little microchip as well. And there was like four, I remember there was four different like battle droids you could choose from, and very interesting Jar Jar toys.
Oh,
too.
Yes. You know, but this is something I've kind of noticed a trend, especially in Star Wars, because what's funny is I'm a huge Transformers fan, and the new lines of Transformers that have been coming out have looked very much like the old classic G1 cartoon. And they're really nice. And I'm actually finding it easier to find them in stores than I am Star Wars figures. It seems like the Star Wars merchandise is just shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And I don't know. You had this Triple Force Friday. I was expecting a whole bunch of stuff. But now I'm at this point. It's like, how much merchandising are we going to see for Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah, I know they're holding on to a bunch of stuff because they don't want to release any spoilers, stuff like that. But I don't know. I wish they'd bring out some new G.I. Joe toys. That'd be
yeah, hey, we're due. Come on, Hasbro Pulse. I'm looking at you. So, but you know what? It's been an interesting week, too, because New York City Comic Con was going on. And we got a ton of stuff out of New York City Comic Con. Kevin, your lovely fiance is back in the States.
Yes. Erin made the trek over from Australia. She's going to be out here for 6 weeks. She just landed in LA, and we're going to be meeting up
shortly. I do have work on the podcast planned for her. I know she's been warned in advance. I think she's kind of gung-ho for it.
I talked to her about that topic of the other extension to the Fandom Hall of Fame. I gave her something to think about. She'll be up for that.
Sounds good. Well, with that, we got a lot of New York City Comic Con to cover. We got a few other interesting things to bring about. So without further ado, let's do this thing.
This is the Culture Clash.
Of course, this is Culture Clash, your home for fandom news, reviews, and whatever crazy we can come up with. And you listen to this podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network. So let's tell you where you can find the Fandom Podcast Network and all its wonderful shows. And it starts at our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. If you're using your mobile device, you can download the Podbean app and search for the Fandom Podcast Network. You'll find all the shows that are in our feed there. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play for you Android device users, and of course on Spotify as well. Of course, we have a Facebook page, Fandom Podcast Network, where we try to keep you updated with all the news that's going on in fandom. You can email us directly if you have some thoughts or want to share some things with us. That's at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, on Twitter, at FanPod Network. You can follow me, Kyle, on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
And I just want to throw a quick shout out to our newest podcast, What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast. And you can follow the host there, Scott Botman, on Twitter at Scott as Miss Max, or Derek Marsh on Twitter at HoodieDM83. Two, you know, you need some gear. And you know what, Kevin? October is here, which means, of course, that I saw Christmas stuff in Walmart the other day.
I know, right?
But yeah. You know, you might have to start getting some ideas for your gift giving, and you know, you might have somebody in your life who's a fan of the Fandom Podcast Network. So visit our TeePublic store at teepublic.com, search for the Fandom Podcast Network. You'll find all the great gear from all the shows here at the Fandom Podcast Network, and we got a few things we're working on. Hopefully by Christmas time and the holiday time, we're going to have a couple new products out there for you on that page as well. And of course, finally, too, we love to get feedback, especially on Apple Podcasts or iTunes reviews. We love those 5-star reviews, of course, but we'll take any feedback in general because we're always looking to improve and make this a better podcast to feed your ears. Now, Kevin, your lovely fiance, Erin Gill, is in town, which means that there will be some Raider Nerd Adventures coming.
Oh, yes.
So,
oh, yes.
You kind of hinted that you already have one lined up.
Yeah, well, we're going to be meeting up in LA shortly. We're going to spend the weekend, extended weekend down there. We're going to have some fun and we're going to go see the Joker there at Universal City Walk. We're going to go see it there. I also like going to Universal City Walk because there's a Raider Image store there, which is fun to always visit. But on Saturday, excuse me, no, wait a minute, Friday night, we're going to go down to the Whiskey A Go-Go. Of course, if you guys listen to the Hair Metal podcast I host on there, I always mention the Whiskey A Go-Go, very, very famous club from way back in the day and still playing a lot of great bands. And Sebastian Bach is going to be playing there on Friday night. He is performing the entire 1989 Skid Row debut album in order that it is on the album, as well as some from the next album, or the one after that one, which was Slave to the Grind. But we're going to have some fun. Aaron and I are going to go to the LA Comic Con. That is October 11th through the 13th, and we're going there on Saturday. My buddy Kat's going down there as well. I think this is the one that used to be like Stan Lee's Kamikaze Con, okay. And then it kind of like morphed over and everything. But there's a good amount of guests down there too. I'm going to try and get to, I want to see the Zombieland panel, which is at like 4:30, I think. Ruben Fleischer's, the director, is going to have some special stuff going there. So my guess, there might be maybe a couple of cast members from the movie showing up. No word on that yet. Kevin Smith, of course, is going to be there promoting Jay and Silent Bob reboot. He's doing that as well. But there's some good guests there. They got Elijah Wood, Ron Perlman, Doug Jones, Felicia Day, a bunch of people from like Sons of Anarchy and the Mayans are going to be there. A huge group from The Office is going to be there as well. Good amount of people, a lot of artists I'm looking forward to. The guy that I want to see is the artist who created Iron Maiden's mascot, Eddie.
Okay.
He was the one that created the original version and also did several of the other albums regarding that. So he's going to be there. So I think Derek something. I can't remember.
I have one concern though. You're gonna have these two big California motorcycle clubs there. Are you sure it's gonna be safe?
I know, right? DMC from Run DMC is gonna be there too. So nice. a bunch of voice actors from like Steven Universe and SpongeBob, and even Gigi Edgley is gonna be there.
Nice. Always love to see Gigi.
Yeah. So it's a good group. Lou Ferrigno, of course. You know, he always likes to make the rounds. He's going to be there too. So Sam Jones, by the way. Sam Jones.
There you go.
Yeah. Ah. Flash. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. We're going to have some fun. I think a couple of my G.I. Joe finest friends are going to be there as well. So yeah.
Very nice. Well, Kevin, you might be out in LA, but all the news this past week came from New York City. So without further ado, I've got my thin crust pizza. I've got the Statue of Liberty in the background. We got a very special New York Comic Con edition of Let's News. So
why did you say thin crust?
Well, that's New York is the thin crust. Chicago's the deep dish.
Oh, is that really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's their thing, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right. You know, I would say I'd have a Yankees hat on, but I can never, ever do that, so.
Yeah, I know. Well, I got one thing to say to all this.
What?
Let's news!
Let's news!
Well, New York City Comic Con came. Is it safe to say at this point, Kevin, that New York City Comic Con is probably the second biggest con in the U.S. at this point?
Next to Comic Con, probably, especially with the amount of news and trailers and stuff that comes out, with the exception of, I guess the yearly one. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. So
I'd be kind of curious to get numbers on that and compare it to Dragon Con, because Dragon Con gets a lot of people. I think they get around 65,000.
Yeah, I think the difference is I think New York Comic Con is a little bit more of a media hub than Dragon Con.
Yes,
is.
Definitely. I would definitely give it the edge. That's why it's very Comic Con-y. So, yep. Yeah.
So, well, I was following a lot of what was coming out of New York City Comic Con through Twitter over the weekend and stuff. And there was a lot of stuff, but there seemed to be two really big things that everybody was focusing on. And the first one, I know at some time here very soon, we'll be talking about on what used to be Discoville, but is now the Union Federation. Construction is still going on. The station's almost done, Kevin.
That's right, man. The Union Federation podcast. We had to change the name because we got so much more Trek to do now than just Discovery.
Yeah, exactly. So, but we're going to at least give you a little preview because a new Picard trailer came out, and not only did we get a new trailer, we got a date for Picard, Kevin, January 23rd.
Very excited about that. I wasn't sure how long we were going to have to wait. And just by the way, Union Federation still covering Orville. There's a little bit of Orville news there too. They had some of the cast members there, which is good. Talking about the move to Hulu and the show's being a little bit longer and stuff like that. But yeah, Picard, dude, the trailer. Oh my God, all the feels. Oh my God, seeing Riker and Deanna Troi. You know what I liked about that trailer
seeing
those two characters pop up in it was that one of the things that I said that I was that I wanted to see. I don't know if you remember this or not, but we were talking in an earlier episode of Discoville of what kind of we were hoping to see regarding either returning characters and stuff. And one of the things that I said was I want to see Riker and Deanna Troi still together, not divorced and things all angsty and weird, you know, and I got the feeling that's what I'm getting what I wished for.
Yeah. There's so much in the Picard trailer to love. There's a lot of questions I have. You have see Picard wearing this like weird logo on his breast now instead of the typical Delta.
Right.
So I'm kind of curious about that. Obviously, some Borg things. A lot of Seven of Nine in this trailer again.
Yeah, she's like double gun in there, like John Woo style, man.
But I do have one question. Who put a wood elf in my Picard?
A what?
A wood elf from Lord of the Rings, because there's the one guy, he looks like he has a sword or something like that. The long, dark hair. He kind of looks you know who I'm talking about, right?
Lothlorien elf, maybe?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, Lothlorien elf. The wood elves, as they would call them. When was Lego last in Picard?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, you know, it sounds like he's got a motley crew with him.
I knew you were going there. I should have seen that coming. I'm very intrigued by this. I mean, there's so many questions and it looks so interesting. The one thing I will say, Kevin, the look of it and the feel of it is definitely kind of a more modern Trek like Discovery has. It feels like in how it's being filmed and everything like that. But I think we just people need to get used to the fact that's how Star Trek is being filmed now.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I just want to see it a little more fun.
Yeah, and I think it's going to
depressing,
be
depressing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's going to be. But I am so excited for this. Patrick Stewart, seeing.
So hold on. I got to ask you. So
yeah.
The trailer. So are we only seeing Data in a dream?
I'm thinking in that sequence only in a dream, but we're not seeing Data in a dream as far as the series as a whole goes.
So you're saying we will see Data outside of Picard's dream?
I think so. At some point we will in that series.
Okay. I hope so.
So the other big thing, because I know they had a real big presence at New York City Comic Con because the robot was walking around New York City Comic Con all the time. And that is finally arriving. Netflix's Lost in Space remake season 2 is coming December 20th. I was a fan of this show, Kevin. I really had a lot of fun with this show, but it's been so long.
Has it?
It's been almost a year and a half.
It hasn't been that long. Dude.
Yeah, yeah, it has. It was a summer series in 2017. 2017, I think.
No, hasn't been that long, dude. Really?
Yeah, it's been a while.
I know. Look it up. I don't know. I don't remember. I thought it was an okay show. I didn't think it was great, but it was entertaining.
Quick, Kevin. I don't have a date, but Netflix announced that the show would return for a new season in May of 2018. So I think it came out end of 2017.
Hmm. Okay.
Or early 2018.
Okay. I'll check it out, I guess, but. I'm not like overly excited for it.
No, I'm looking forward to this. I really liked some of the directions they took with this. I love the design of the robot.
Yes. Yeah. That was
so
cool.
I'm almost going to have to go back and rewatch it though. It's been so long, but I'm really looking forward to that. Another big thing, of course, was we got our first short trailer for Star Trek Discovery season 3. Kevin, I know your feelings on Discovery. You've been up and down on it, I think is a fair assessment. Have you watched this trailer yet?
Yes, I have.
What did you think of the trailer?
I don't know, man. I thought it was interesting. One of the screenshots of one of the aliens running was a Mourn type alien, which I thought was kind of interesting. I don't know, because it takes place so far in the future. I'm not excited for it. I'm going to check it out, but I'm just not excited for it. You know, not like the Picard one.
Oh no, obviously not like the Picard one. I'm intrigued. I think Discovery's given themselves a chance here to really kind of go in some different directions. But the one thing that threw me off on that trailer was the fact that you open up with Michael Burnham again. They have an opportunity here to really focus on a lot of different characters and make it a more well-rounded show with other characters. And yet the main focus of this trailer again felt like, oh, it's the adventures of Michael Burnham.
Michael Burnham show, yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I love Sonequa Martin-Green, but that's not a Star Trek show. A Star Trek show has always been done so well at encompassing all the characters.
Ensemble cast, yes. Yeah. So the one thing that I'm concerned about, and I'm really curious to see how the writers are going to tackle this, because it takes place so far in the future, I don't want to hear about stuff like, oh, the Federation collapsed and died, or all this stuff. Like, I don't want to hear that we're going to have an expired amount of time, a time of experiment for certain things that we're already familiar with and seeing, or even will see in the Picard series, because the Picard series is, you know, supposed to be, you know, after everything from Deep Space Nine and Voyager and all that kind of stuff. And I don't want them wrapping up what's going to happen between, like, let's just say the Picard series and, you know, stuff that we're going to have to, you know, how are they going to write this into future stuff before Discovery, you know? So that's why I'm not a fan of them jumping this far in the future. I'm just not.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where it's going to go. I think the season is going to be a make or break season for it. I think it's a lot of intrigue. And this might, who knows, maybe this will be the final season of Discovery. It's hard to say. There's so many things in the Star Trek hopper at this point, Kevin, that
it seems like a lot of these shows are on 3-year runs anyway. It's kind of the new normal, where back in the day, like, you know, Star Trek shows, it was 7 seasons, you know?
Yeah.
Now it's like, you know, 10 to 15 episode seasons with at least 3-year runs, and then maybe you'll get renewed or not, you know? Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, welcome to the streaming world. But Ryan Reynolds was a big presence at New York City Comic Con too. Of course, he was there for a couple of reasons. Of course, he was promoting his new Netflix movie, which we talked about last week, that he's doing with Michael Bay, Underground 6. But he's also got another movie coming out called Free Guy. And while they didn't get into a lot of information about it, there was a lot of hype for this movie. And I love the concept of this movie, Kevin. Free Guy, directed by Sean Levy. Free Guy stars Ryan Reynolds as a bank teller who slowly realizes he's a non-playable character living in a video game. This could be quite interesting.
It's in post-production right now, coming out next year. It looks like it's got a July 3rd release date. Yeah, this looks really interesting. I like the fact that Ryan Reynolds is doing some other stuff here. I think this is really cool. It stars Taika. We all know Taika.
Yes. And in fact, if you watch some of the interviews for New York City Comic Con, there's one where Ryan Reynolds and Taika are together and they both just completely disavow any knowledge of Green Lantern.
You know who else is in this? Is Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum is in this. So bank teller discovers he's actually on an NPC inside a brutal open and world video game. This is going to be very interesting. I like the concept of this. It kind of reminds me... I'm wondering if it's going to be more of a lighter version of, remember Gerard Butler's Gamer?
Yeah, I think definitely a lighter version of that.
Yeah, where you can you could do two parts of this thing in the future. You can actually be part of this gamer thing, or you could do like a Sims type thing, which is what his wife did in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And a little more, of course. I think it was R-rated as well. So, yeah.
But I want to talk about a couple of shows that I know I have been pushing on our show here for a while now. And the first up is we got our first true trailer for the fourth season of The Expanse, which of course has moved to Amazon Prime after being on Sci-Fi for the first 3 seasons. I'm a huge fan of this show. I still say to this day it's some of the smartest science fiction on television. And if you watch the third season of The Expanse, They're going to set this new season up. It looks a little bit kind of like a new space race because there's a whole lot of areas to explore now. If you watch the end of the third season of Expanse, a bunch of portals got opened across the universe. So I'm really excited to see the return.
Is Mars still a thing?
Mars is still going to be a thing, but not like in the way it was in previously.
Okay.
All your cast is returning, and they're adding one of my favorite underrated actors, Kevin, and that is Bern Gorman.
And who's that?
He's probably most notable to a lot of fans from Torchwood, but he was also one of the two scientists in Pacific Rim. He was
that guy. Yeah. Yes.
He has that guy status. He was also in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, I do remember him. Yeah, I do remember him from Torchwood.
Dark Knight, but But I'm really looking forward to The Expanse. Another show I've been really hyping to is a Hulu exclusive Marvel show, and that is Runaways. And you're going to see a very familiar face on Runaways this season. Elizabeth Hurley is going to be part of the cast of Runaways this season. She is playing Morgan Le Fay. And yes, it is that Morgan Le Fay from
Who is Morgan Le Fay? I don't know who Morgan Le Fay is.
From the Arthurian legend?
I don't know.
You've seen the movie Excalibur. She's Arthur's sister. She's a witch.
Oh, okay.
But Kevin, Elizabeth Hurley on our screen, that's always a good thing.
Yes.
Dazzled.
Yes, Bedazzled, and of course, Austin Powers, and yes.
But I'm a huge fan of this show. They're doing a crossover with the other Marvel TV show that's still currently running, and that is Cloak and Dagger, which is on the Freeform Network. Very interested to see where they go with this. Marvel Television is kind of in an interesting place because there's a lot of talk that the studios are actually going to get closed or just absorbed into the Marvel movie universe, and everything's just going to be handed by Marvel Studios now. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. A couple other interesting things of note. Apple TV Plus, which starts in November, they have a show called Servant, but the intriguing part of this is that it's M. Night Shyamalan doing this series, Kevin.
Ooh. Now, this is one of the other shows, because I know Jennifer Aniston has a new show that's Correct. Coming to Apple Plus, right?
Yeah. Just a brief synopsis of this. This is coming to Apple TV on November 28th, Apple TV Plus, from M. Night Shyamalan. Servant follows a Philadelphia couple in mourning after an unspeakable tragedy creates a rift in their marriage and opens the door for a mysterious force to enter their home. But it's Shyamalan, and whether you like him or not, there is always a curiosity factor in what he does.
True.
So I find that very interesting. Another thing that came up with CW, a trailer for Riverdale Season 4. Are you still watching this at all, Kevin?
No, Aaron likes it, though.
It's got a very Twin Peaks kind of feel to it. It's a great young cast. This is a fun thing. It's a guilty. I think it's a guilty pleasure show, but it's a lot of fun. It's a very different take on Archie comics. I'm a fan of the show. Another trailer that was making a lot of news, and I've seen this in a few other places. They're doing a third Kingsman movie, but this is actually a prequel film talking about the founding of the Kingsman. And I really like this trailer, Kevin.
I think this is. I wasn't a fan of the second Kingsman.
I was not either, but this
I liked the fact that we're having a kind of a prequel thing. It takes place like how far in the past?
I believe it's around World War II when they established that. Okay. But it's got in your cast, you've got Ralph Fiennes, Gemma Atherton, Raishai Fans, Matthew Good, Tom Hollander, Harris Dickinson, Daniel Brühl, Diamond Huntsow, and Charles Dance.
Ooh, that should be good.
That's a great cast. Matthew Vaughn is directing. So looking forward to that. And finally, I know you're kind of oh-hum on this news, Kevin, but Walking Dead is still a force when it comes to TV. It has been renewed for 11th season. And more importantly, it has been announced Lauren Cohen will return for the 11th season of Walking Dead. Of course, she had left the show. She had done that Whiskey Cavalier show with Scott Foley that really did not take off. So the door was open for her to make a return. And the other big thing was it still doesn't have a title yet. They're roughly calling it The Walking Dead Universe. But it's a show that takes place about 10 to 15 years after the actual start of the zombie apocalypse, and it's focusing on characters who either were not born or were very young children when it first happened, and how they are now surviving in this fact that they've basically grown up in a world that all they know is this zombie infestation.
I hope it doesn't turn into like a CW type teen comedy thing for just with zombies. You know?
I don't think so. I think they're going to stay away from that, but I'm going to be very interested to see where it goes.
It's the Walking Dead new series, and it has a release date of sometime in spring of 2020.
So, and of course, I know they just did
10 episodes, it says. Yeah,
they did a lot of remake of Fear of the Walking Dead, which has kind of had some mixed results. I kind of like what they did with it, but they kind of went off of the rails a little bit at the end of the season. So it'll be interesting to see what is going to go on there. But New York's Comic-Con produced a ton of media this year, Kevin.
Yeah, like I said, it was one of the things I want to go back and talk to, and I want to get your opinion on this. There was, I don't know if it was a fan question or what had happened regarding the panel of the Orville, but some news made that would it be cool or possible to have a musical episode of the Orville, because we all know that many of those people on that cast can sing. How would you feel if the Orville did a musical episode? Kind of like, you know, the Buffy style way. And
well, let me put it this way. Like, if that Buffy can do a musical episode with Seth MacFarlane running the Orville, they can absolutely pull off a musical episode.
Can you just imagine like all the dialogue, you know, there, or just like, it, you know, something serious happens and then all of a sudden, you know, they break into a song to kind of, you know, set the mood for whatever was happening at the time. I mean, that would totally be over that.
There's one other piece of news that's not on the notes that didn't come from New York City Comic Con that came today, Kevin. I know I tagged you in a post on this on Facebook, and that is the John Wick universe is expanding.
Yes, there is another movie that is, they're working at Len Wiseman.
Yes, Ballerina.
It's called Ballerina. Yes. Now, Len Wiseman, for those of you that don't know, directed a couple of the Die Hard films, but also the Underworld films, and was married to my movie wife for a little while, Kate Beckinsale. So this is a new character that we have not been introduced already.
Not true.
Is this not true? Is there someone? Who is this? What?
This is apparently, do you remember the scene in John Wick 3 when he goes to the ballerina school?
Yes.
And the ballerina that's that's performing in front of him. Apparently, that's going to be the character that this movie is going to center on.
Interesting. I was curious about that. Yeah, part of the Russian ballerina / you know, assassin school or whatever it is.
Yeah, but that character that they kind of put a little extra focus on during that scene in John Wick 3, apparently that is the character who's going to be in Ballerina.
Same actress?
I don't know if it's going to be the same actress or not, but okay. Still, I found that very interesting. And I know, you know, we still have Continental coming on, I believe it's AMC, I believe, is doing the Continental TV show, which I believe comes out in 2020. So the John Wick universe is growing, Kevin.
I like it.
So, but with that, we're going to take a quick break. And we'll be back with a couple of fun things we haven't maybe explored in a while, too, Kevin. So, but let's find out what else is going on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. For you Highlander fans, we've got Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we cover all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater is for you movie buffs, our podcast celebrating the cult classics and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. We also have End Zone for you NFL fans, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with hosts Tom, Brandon, and Chris discussing the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. And for you Star Trek Discovery and Orville fans, we have Discoville, talking about everything Discovery and the Orville. And for you hard rock music fans, we have the Hair Metal podcast, the Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And we also have Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, where we discuss all things Doctor Who, both past and present. And our newest podcast, Lethal Mullet, our podcast celebrating action movies from the 1980s with your host, Adam P. O'Brien. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and now on Spotify. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network, on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and also on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at FandomPodcastNetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
We hope you're enjoying everything we're putting out for you and giving you some podcasts to feed your ears. But don't overeat too much because ear indigestion, not a fun experience. I'm just saying. They don't make Pepto-Bismol for ears, so.
It's true.
But before, so we're going to bring back something we haven't done in a while. We talked a little bit about it last week's episode. But before we do that, we didn't have much, but let's do a little
buy it, stream it, or unsee it.
Now, a couple of things before we get into what you want to talk about, Kevin. We're not hitting up Joker yet. Kevin hasn't seen it. He was waiting for Aaron to get here. And I have to admit, I need to get myself in the right frame of mind to go see this movie. And I haven't really been in that. And I don't know if it's because I've just been so busy at work. I've got some other things going on personally. And I know this is going to be a dark and depressing film. And I have heard that. Now, I've heard it's absolutely fantastic. But I just have to get myself in that mindset for this one, Kevin.
Yeah, I hear you. My buddy Kat saw it, and he really enjoyed it. And I said, I don't want spoilers, dude. Don't tell me. And it's nice. People, when they do put stuff on Facebook, they'll say spoilers or non-spoiler and stuff. And I'm getting a lot of feedback from a lot of people's opinions, that good feedback about the film from people that I respect and appreciate their feedback. So I'm really excited to see how they're going to do this and possible call outs to other Joker stuff. So I don't know. We'll see. But I'm looking forward to it. We're going to go see it at Universal City Walk on Thursday. So I'm excited about that.
Yep.
So, yeah.
The other thing I want to talk about was the premiere of Batwoman. And unfortunately, a little technical difficulties hit. The FPNet gremlins were messing with the cable lines and the internet connection. So I haven't had a chance to get to watch that yet. But we'll definitely be hitting that up on the next episode as well. Because
that's right. I'm going to try and watch that, but I'm not sure. So, you know, with Aaron coming to town, we got a lot of other stuff planned. So we'll see we'll be watching.
Yeah. But Kevin, you did check out one thing that's a little bit of a blast from the past. And once I saw the IMDb about this, I remember this film. So why don't you talk about what you did see over the weekend?
See, I did not remember this film, and I was channel surfing through. For those of you that don't remember, when I got internet set up here at the house with my dad and everything, we got like 3 years of free HBO and Cinemax and Stars or whatever it was, I came across this film called Beyond the Reach. Came out in April of 2015, starring Michael Douglas. And so I was kind of curious. I was like, what is this? So I start watching it, and I was planning on watching something else, but I got sucked into it. And Michael Douglas plays a bad guy. A different type of bad guy that I wasn't expecting. Ronnie Cox is in this film as well. The young lead in this film is Jeremy Irvine. I'll talk about him in just a moment. But Michael Douglas plays a guy named Matic, an international unscrupulous entrepreneur. He hires the skilled young tracker Ben to guide him through the fearful and barren Mojave Desert during a hunting trip. Unfortunately, however, things take a wrong turn for the worse when prideful Matic shoots unintentionally the wrong target. And in a cynical attempt to wash his hands of this bad deed, Matic will try to bribe himself out of this predicament by offering Ben a hefty compensation in exchange for his silence. But as this is against Ben's principles, before long, the unfortunate tracker will run for his life under the fierce, merciless sun. Undoubtedly, the desert is limitless, but on the other hand, so is the desire to survive. This was filmed, I think, actually in, I want to say, New Mexico and a little bit of Arizona as well. Very intense thriller, man. It was very interesting, and to see Michael Douglas be as ruthless as he does, as he's basically hoping this kid will fall dead in the desert, and he keeps tracking him to see where he goes, and certain turns and finds and stuff like that turn things to the young Ben his way. At least he thinks that he does. It was actually a very good thriller. I couldn't not stop watching it. So I highly recommend it. I think it's on one of those pay channels. I can't remember I don't know if it's on streaming, but it's definitely worth streaming. It's called Beyond the Reach. But the young star in this film, had not heard of, I was like, he looks kind of familiar, Jeremy Irvine. And I remember he was in Steven Spielberg's movie, The War Horse. Did you ever see that film?
I saw it once. I haven't seen it in a while, though.
Yeah, it was about World War I and how horses were basically drafted into the war effort. And it was, his horse gets drafted. He gets drafted also into the war effort as well. And interesting story about what happens there. But Kyle, he's in a series that's coming out that you brought to our attention in previous Culture Clashes. He's going to be starring as J. Randolph Bentley in Treadstone, the TV series, in all 10 episodes.
Cannot wait for that. I'm looking forward to that. I just saw another ad for it the other day. I'm very intrigued by that show. So, yeah, looking forward to see what they do there with it. And, you know, what I remember about this movie is I remember being intrigued by it because of evil Michael Douglas.
Yeah. Oh, he was really good in this. And when you start to see what like the desert can do to people, it's very interesting. So definitely check it out.
Yeah. Now at the end of last week's Culture Clash, we talked about bringing back some segments we haven't explored in a while, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so it got me thinking, well, that's something we haven't done in a while. And I thought about it. It's like, it was definitely time to bring back a little cult classic or guilty pleasure. And I reached into the oddball films for this one, Kevin, because whether you love this film, whether you feel it's a cult classic or a guilty pleasure, it is an oddball film. But before we even get started on that, Kevin, I'm going to
sorry, I got the movie. I'm not going to say what it is yet. I got the movie playing in the background, and I forgot about the dolphin.
Now, see, you just ruined it. You just completely, totally ruined my question, Kevin. You ruined the whole segment now because I had a very important question for you.
I'm sorry, dude. I didn't know what your question was, and I just saw that scene
so,
in the movie.
Because the question I had only had two acceptable answers.
Okay.
If I say talking dolphin, what comes to your mind first? And there's only two acceptable answers to this question.
Flipper?
No, talking dolphin.
Oh, talking dolphin. Okay. Okay, I know what one of them is because that's the movie we're going to talk about. What's the other one?
Darwin from SeaQuest.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. Yes, Darwin from SeaQuest. And, of course, Kyle, the other reason is why it's your pick for cult classic or guilty pleasure.
Yes, of course. That'd be Dinah Meyer.
What? That's
Dina Meyer. She's my pick. Reason why this is a cult classic or guilty pleasure. I don't remember who else was in it.
Dina Meyer.
Yeah, Dina Meyer. Yes. I don't remember who else was in it. She was in it. I didn't care about anything else.
Yeah, I got in trouble the last time I met with her my fiance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's why you weren't allowed to be at Kate Beckinsale.
Dina Meyer, I got a picture with her at Dragon Con, and apparently my hand was a little too high, according to my fiance.
Too over on the waist?
Yes, I should have done it around the shoulder thing.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, of course, the movie we're talking about is the 1995 Keanu Reeves movie, Johnny Mnemonic. Now, this is pre-Matrix Keanu. This is pre-John Wick Keanu. This is kind of an interesting time frame for Keanu at this point, because he's still really kind of riding the Bill and Ted wave a little bit here at this point. A little Point Break, a little Speed.
Yeah, I was trying to remember where exactly it pops in, but yeah, you're right. I remember seeing this in the theater.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing this in the theater. This movie was crazy. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, for those of you who might not remember, here's basically the overview of it. A data courier, literally carrying a data package inside his head, must deliver it before he dies from the burden or is killed by the Yakuza. That's all you need to know about Johnny Mnemonic.
Yeah, he transports data in his brain that he downloads, basically. He's one of these couriers. But here's the interesting thing about this film. We'll get into the film a little bit more, but this was the film that followed up Speed, which was a huge hit for him. I don't know when to ask the question.
Go ahead and ask the question.
Were you disappointed with his follow-up to Speed with Johnny Mnemonic?
So, I think when I remember it came in out, he was like, I love the world they created for Johnny Mnemonic, but Johnny Mnemonic wasn't that great of a film, especially when you're following up Speed. But because Keanu was on such a high streak, everybody was all over this. And if you look at the cast, there's quite an interesting cast to this movie, Kevin. Obviously, we've got Keanu Reeves, we've got Dina Meyer, who was starting to get a little bit of notoriety from her, because a lot of people got to know her from Beverly Hills 90210.
This is true, and probably more for Starship Troopers.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, yeah. You also had Dolph Lundgren in this movie, Henry Rollins, who was at a really kind of interesting popularity point at this time he made this. A lot of people knew who Henry Rollins was, maybe not even by his name, but by his face, because he had done a lot of bit parts in films all over the place.
Yeah, you know, he started, of course, as the, you know, he got more known for being in the punk band Black Flag. He took over the original singer's job, basically, and then he did some spoken word stuff and stuff like that. So, yeah.
And of course, obviously, you had Ice-T in this. He was probably, outside of Keanu, the most popular name in this film.
Yeah, definitely. Ice-T's star was rising, man. Rising.
Yeah, so.
By the way, Dina's next film after this was The Awesome Dragonheart. She played Kara.
Yes, the original Dragonheart is still a very good movie. So
yes, it is.
Now, you look at this film, it had a budget of $26 million. It grossed worldwide $19
million.
Hold on,
did we say when this took place? Because
it takes place in the year 2021.
Yeah, 2021.
So we're almost there.
We're almost there. But what's funny is the technology that they use in this film, which totally dates it.
Oh, yes. It is so dated.
Especially when they use the word facts because remember those little CDs, the little disc drive things, they were using those because they look so futuristic and stuff.
Yeah. Here's a kicker, Kevin. Let me ask you this real quick, since we're coming up on the year 2021. Isn't it always mind-blowing when we see a movie that we saw before the date it happened and now we're so far past that date and we see the world they tried to portray?
Yeah, definitely.
The one that always kills me is when I go back into watch the original animated Transformers, the movie, and it opens up in the year 2005.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the technology that you see in this film and the weird, of course, the dolphin and everything, and it's almost 2021 now, and our technology is so much better right now.
We don't have laser beheading tools in this.
This is true. This is very true. By the way, you mentioned the budget of $26 million, but it grossed only like $19 million.
$19 million worldwide. It was by TriStar Pictures. This movie tanked. I mean, there was just no about. It was one of those ones I don't even know necessarily that it got a big VHS following to it, Kevin. I think what happened was a lot of people jumped back on this after Keanu kind of relaunched his career for the second time in The Matrix. A lot of people revisited this movie then.
And it's got this cyberpunk feel to it as well. You know, kind of like the way Hackers did a little bit as well. So, I got to be honest with you, though. When I, after I saw it in the theater, I was like, I was just a little disappointed with it, you know? And I didn't really revisit it on video when it came out. I was just like, meh. But I ended up revisiting it later on DVD. And I did, you know what? I watch it again. I'm like, okay, it's a little cheesy, but there's still things I like about it. I got to be honest with you. I think I like the first half of the film more than the last half of the film, to be honest with you.
I will agree there. Something interesting about this film, though, the Japanese version is considered the director's cut, and it is rather different from the international re-edited cut. It runs about 10 minutes longer. Additional scenes mostly focus on Takeshi Kitano's character, Takashi. Some additional scenes are intact, whereas they were committed in other versions. I don't know what they mean by that. And other scenes, different camera angles were used. It also has a different score composed by Michael Dana, and it was much more violent.
Yeah, it had to. I don't know if maybe they had a agreement with China, the Chinese, just kind of like a lot of those Michael Bay Transformer films did. They worked with Chinese production companies because they would release it there first, or they would have more scenes of some of the actors, the Chinese actors in it. I've never seen that director's cut, so I can't speak for it. So
yeah. One of the reviews, and I agree with it here, is basically it just says, it's one of those movies that should have been so much better than what it was.
I would agree with that. Yeah. The concept is really, really cool. It's just, to me, it just kind of peters out, you know, when they go to Newark, you know, which is like free Newark, and there's that bridge that's kind of like the home base that Ice-T commands, and you know, and then you come across Dolph Lundgren's character, who's creepy and weird, and you know, so then of course you got the talking dolphin.
Well before Sequest.
Yeah, but we did a Raider Nerd poll on the Fandom Podcast Network, and we had to, you know, we had to ask the people out there, is this a cult classic or guilty pleasure? So the results are 63% cult classic and 37% guilty pleasure. I got to tell you this, Kyle. I put up the poll first. I voted on it first, and I put guilty pleasure.
You know, I think I put cult classic, but this is one of those ones. It's a cult classic because it's such a great cyberpunk film.
Is it?
It's one of those cyberpunk films that you go back and laugh at because it's a great, I do think it kind of represents something that comes out from a lot of the 90s technological films, is because especially in the mid 90s, we were at such a weird technological point because we were really,
yeah. CG was still, computer animated stuff was still in its infancy, you know, not really, I guess Jurassic Park was, you know, really where it kind of set the bar for a lot of people, but you know, what other cyberpunk films can we compare to? I don't know. I didn't really look that up. I'm not sure.
I'm thinking, I mean, truthfully, that's the thing. I have to go back. That's an interesting question to bring up, but this can go either way. I don't think there's a wrong answer necessarily.
So you think it's a cult classic? I think the majority of people think so. Yeah.
I think it falls under cult classic because a little bit gets more pushed over now because of Keanu.
Yeah, I think if Keanu wasn't where he is now with the renaissance that he's having now and how he's like the most awesome person on the planet, if it wasn't for all of that, I would say it probably would fall more under guilty pleasure for people. But I think it now, a lot of people look back going on, we love classic Keanu, and that's what this kind of falls under.
Let me put it this way.
I still think it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah. Let me put it this way. Pre-Wick, it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, but it's got the talking dolphin, man.
Yeah, I know. Go on now. You can't beat a talking dolphin, Kevin. I mean,
and then it's got, was it these, the Cybertronic weird people?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. For me, it's a guilty pleasure. But yeah, I
think it's one of those ones. It's a borderline. It can go either way, but. It's, when I say it's a cult classic, it's on that outer fringe of cult classic.
Yeah.
It's still in the wasteland.
I gotta come up with a cult classic or guilty pleasure. It's getting kind of harder now because we've touched on, you know, quite a bit of them.
Well, okay, so we might have, but we, there's a way around this, but we got to modify your rule a little bit because you went with a 20-year rule. I think we got to go cut it down to a 15-year rule.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I think 15.
A classic has to usually be around 20 years or older. If you go to 15, we're kind of pushing it, you know?
But I think in the way our media is today, Kevin, especially with streaming and everything like that, things get such a rebirth in the streaming market now.
Yeah, and they're remaking films a lot sooner, you know, they're remaking films that were like 10 years ago, you know? So, yeah.
So yeah. I think we could go to a 15 and be okay there. I wouldn't want to go any less than 15.
Okay, but you have to clear it by me first.
No, I'm co-founding privileges here. I do all the editing. I'll tell you, that part.
This is my segment, though, man. I birthed this, you know. So I want to. You know, I just, there's a lot more we can choose from. Some of this stuff is just so obvious cult classic. You got to be careful not to, you know, like Buckaroo Banzai is cult classic. You know, you can't pick Buckaroo Banzai or stuff, but I'll go through my movie collection here. I know I can pull some stuff out that's questionable.
just never again with Ballistic X versus Sever. Yeah, no, just no, sorry. On that note, Kevin's got a fiance he has to get to. I got other shows to record and edit, but as always, respect each other and enjoy your fandom. And Elizabeth, Mary, and Matt Clifton, I know you're at Galaxy's Edge right now. You're cheating on me. Bright suns, everybody.
But they're going to know that place so well.
Are you kidding? Matt lives there. So yeah. I'm waiting for the article that he's done a Florida man thing. And that's his joke, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. So we're not making fun of Mr. Clifton.
What joke? What?
That he's going to be the next Florida man because he's going to be found living in Disney.
Yeah. He's going to find a way to live there. That's funny. That'd be great.
Okay. Like I said, respect each other. Enjoy your fandom.